Welcome to Passion to Power with your host, Michelle Zeitlin. She's a creative producer who quote-unquote wears many hats. She's also a talent and literary manager and founded the company Morzap Productions and Management. She develops people and projects across all media. Her guests encompass the gamut, from artists to authors, actors to activists. Please welcome Michelle Zeitlin, Passion to Power.
I have the distinct pleasure of interviewing Nick Roses. He represents kids, teens, and adults. He looks like a kid himself, and he's a former reality star. I'm going to let him tell you that funny story. Now he's a partner at one of the leading Hollywood talent agencies. Welcome aboard to Passion to Power. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how are you?
I'm so glad you could spare the time. I think we have scheduled this and canceled it and rescheduled it at least half a dozen times.
I apologize. You know, they got me all over the place, but I'm glad we're finally able to do it.
Now, we were originally on a panel together. We were industry reps flown into the Bible Belt to look at about, 1,400 auditioners. Actors, singers, and dancers. We call them triple threats. And since that time, you have gone up the ranks. I've had the pleasure of sharing a client with you at Pantheon. Why don't you share with me how you got where you are now, how you started? Were you an actor yourself? How did you get to become an agent? And then I'll have a few more questions for you after that.
As a kid and in my early teens, I was acting and singing. And so when I was about 13 is when I bought my first management company, or I bought into rather. And it was my manager at the time. And I was trying to figure out exactly what I wanted to do. And, I had a young entrepreneurial spirit. And so I just realized that representation was something that was really exciting to me. And so I got really, really lucky, and I had the opportunity to, start interning there and kind of literally everything from cleaning the toilets to running the auditions on the weekend to getting teachers, waters and bagels and, whatever was necessary or needed, because we were a training management and development center. So we had the training side in Florida, and then as well, we also had a management side, which had offices in LA and New York as well. So I did that when I was 13. And I was there till I was about 15. And then I opened up my own place, and I was manager for a really long time. And I was manager for about 8 or 9 years. And then I went to a company called Luber Rockland Entertainment. I was there for about a year, and then got sued by the city of LA, which was exciting.
Okay, you can't skip over that. Wait, we have to touch on that. Because I remember it hit every trade, Deadline, Hollywood Reporter. I mean, everybody was reading about how this kid abruptly got sued. Let's hear your story.
There was a new law that went into effect in 2010. I think it was either 2010, 2011. And basically the law says that if you are operating a training facility or an acting school or, something like, you cannot be a talent representative. And that was a new law, and it's only in the state of California. And at the time, I was 19 years old, I think, or 18 or 19. And, I wasn't doing anything that a whole lot of other places weren't doing. But the difference between mine and theirs were, it was only available to my clients. And I had every major network, casting, everyone was there and came and really supported. And so it was really a benefit. But unfortunately, because there's a lot of not so great people out there that are doing some really shady business, it fell under that law. And unfortunately, at that age, I wasn't paying attention to the laws like that. I wasn't aware. I didn't know that I needed to, dot my I's and cross my T's. And so, it was really unfortunate, but it was a huge life lesson and, something that, I definitely was not excited to go through, but I think kind of gave me the education and the wake-up call that I needed, because there was no malice. There was nothing malicious about what I was doing. And, you know, everything had really, really good intentions. And so, you know, I really appreciate that, you know, that was a time in my life that I went through, although it wasn't an exciting time. It certainly kind of defined me into a young man and really helped me to understand, like, if you're going to be a businessman and you're going to be an owner of a company, you need to know what the hell is going on. And so now I'm much more versed in all of that. And, you know, I definitely dot my I's and cross my T's now, because I want to make sure that I, you know, I'm doing everything right. This is a fun job. It's definitely a lifestyle. It's not a career. It's, you know, my morning, noon, and night. It's all I know. It's, you know, my husband, it's my wife, you know, and I take it really, really, really seriously. My clients are all I live for, you know, and I take true pride in that. You know, my company is a boutique agency, but we really have the power of, you know, some of the heavy hitters out there, and we have the relationships and we have the ability, and sometimes that's all that it takes. And you know, I'm really proud of where I've come and where I've grown from that situation back in 2010, because, you know, it was 4 months that I went through that trial, and, you know, I was not hireable and nobody wanted to touch me. I was on every trade, like you said. Everybody tried running me out of town, but I was really lucky. Every single one of my clients, except for maybe like two or three, left and came with me and started with me at my own company. And that year we booked 11 pilots, 9 went to series, and we really, really, really killed it. And I became hireable again. And I went and I got a job.
Nothing like, what's the Janet Jackson song? What have you done for me lately, huh? Wow.
Yeah, it was a really good year, and we worked really, really, really hard.
I want you to know I've written 11 pilot deals and came away with zero, so that was a good year for you.
Yeah, no, it was amazing, and I'll never forget that year really being a year where I had to do a lot of self-reflection, and I really had to not allow the industry to kind of chew me up and spit me out. And, you know, I've worked my ass off to be here, and I'm really proud of what we've built as a company, and I'm really happy with the way that I'm able to live and my lifestyle and, you know, my clients' lifestyle. But it's not easy.
And if I may, for those people who are listening and don't see you on my audio podcast, you're a white boy, but you're really known for a very diverse clientele. And may I say, before it was even fashionable to do that, I mean, I knew you as having a diversified list of clients before diverse meant ethnic. And
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's been a niche that I've worked in for a really long time. You know, funny enough, I absolutely look like a white boy, but I am very much Cuban, from Miami, and, you know, really have a finger on the pulse, you know, in the culture, and culture being not only, you know, an ethnicity, but really like a definition of people, of a group of people, you know, Latinos, Blacks, Asians, people of color, you know, as a whole. That has really been an emphasis of where my business is and where we've grown it to be. You know, I probably have more people on BET than any other agency in town.
Interesting.
You know, and that's just giving you one example, you know, of one network. I mean, All Black, TV One, you know, all of these networks, I have quite a substantial amount of talent and big representation there. A lot of music crossover clients, a lot of unscripted clients, you know, and we've really diversified how we do things. And we've given people the opportunity to have a voice that didn't necessarily get to have a voice that easily. And we've taken people that are at a certain level and have have the platform that, you know, they should be given certain props and certain liberties, right? And, you know, maybe before they weren't given that, but we've really helped them beat down those doors and, you know, create those relationships. So it's something that I, you know, like I've been saying, like, I just take really great pride in it, because not a lot of people get it. Not a lot of people do what I do. Not only a lot of people have the same approach. I think there's a lot of really great representatives out there. I think there's a lot of really great agents and managers. We're not all the same. You know, everybody's tactics are different. Everybody's intentions are different. But, you know, one thing that I've really noticed over the last couple of years, especially as I've moved more into a management position, is, you know, there's enough for everybody to go around. And everybody, you know, can really actually benefit from collaborating and from, you know, helping others versus always trying to be in some type of a competition. And, you know, you'd be surprised at some of the relationships that I've been able to leverage with other agents, you know, whether it be, you know, within the domestic reach, or it be, you know, internationally, or, you know, we've really helped kind of bridge the gap and create big opportunities for people in other markets. So I think with where our industry is going, and with the ability to kind of put people on tape and having certain flexibilities, you know, it's not my favorite process, but it certainly gives people an opportunity that weren't getting an opportunity before. Because it's a heck of a lot easier to say, sure, put yourself on tape and a casting director be able to turn it off after 30 seconds if it's not good, rather than having to sit in there for a 5-minute reading in person, you know? So I think our industry is constantly evolving and changing, and obviously our world is too. And, you know, it's changed the way that we've been able to open doors for people. I think that it's really kind of made our jobs a little bit easier, a lot more exciting, a lot more accessible, a lot more fun. You know, during the pandemic, we really shifted a lot of focus when there wasn't a lot of scripted into unscripted, and, you know, branding and, you know, figuring out, okay, they're not shooting commercials. How can we make people money and licensing and brands and social? And, you know, there's no more concerts. There's no more speaking engagements. Like, how do we replace that money? How do we kind of make it economically make sense for our clients? And, you know, we had to really roll up our sleeves and kind of get down and dirty and figure out how to make it happen. And we did. And, you know, that was also a really exciting thing. I mean, my office was closed for 6 weeks during the pandemic. That's it.
That's it.
All worked from home the whole time. You know, and then even when we reopened, I mean, I think we were the first agency open back up again. And we literally were, you know, we created new ways of putting up people's reels. And, you know, we got really super organized. Everybody redid their contracts. And, you know, it just, we utilized the time to really get us ahead, where I think a lot of places we're on hold, we're on freeze, we're laying people off, people are on furlough. Like, then that just wasn't happening here. You know, We're different, we're unique, we're a good group, we're expanding and growing every single day. But, you know, when I became an agent, oh gosh, it'll be 9 years. It's been a really cool ride. It's been a really cool journey. I've gotten to see a lot of really crazy cool things. And I think for 33 to have traveled where I've traveled, and to have had the opportunities that I've had, and to have the client list that I have, I'm super, super fortunate. I'm super blessed. I'm super grateful. You know, and that's kind of where I'm at. That's a little bit about me.
I love it, Nick. Now, you have a great scope. As such a young person, and you're on such a great purview, what do you think you've contributed in terms of value to your clients, other than, well, you know, 11 pilot deals and 9 went green? That was a good year. But on the daily, what do you think you do differently?
We're really involved. We're really, 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 really involved in everything from, you know, ours is very much a managerial approach, even though we work with, we have a manager basically on every client, but people know that our approach is a little bit more intrusive. It's a little bit more on the day-to-day. It's a little bit more, I don't want to call it micromanaging, but definitely there's oversight. It's like a studio and the network have oversight, over things. It's kind of the same thing. We really want to be in the weeds with publicity and management and the buyers. And we want to understand what stylists we're using, what groomers we're using, what flights are happening, how they're happening, when they're going, how are we going to make projects work? What are we going to put in different places? We've really kind of turned into a more 360 robust company where we become almost like partners with our clients, and we become really in the weeds, and we are taking their, projects and helping them source IP and, talking about what makes sense and figuring out what campaigns work and calling ad agencies and making sure that, the right brands are being discussed and, handling crisis PR when clients get themselves into trouble, which, is a third of my day. The music crossover, the hip hop artists, the R&B artists that we have, the housewives, all of these big kind of brands, these big IP, these big people within those brands, we really try to maximize them and move them around. I think it's pretty incredible what we've been able to do with some of the people that we have that, with no disrespect to some of the other agencies in town. I think there's a lot of great ones, and obviously, CAA is massive in size, right? But I think that when you're able to have a little bit more of a detailed, strategic, poignant approach, that works for some people. It's not for everybody, but it works for some people. And, it can be really, really beneficial and really fruitful. And, if you have someone that is in the weeds and is getting out there and is really trying to make stuff happen, and for me, if I'm awake, I'm working. And I could be at a club and I'm working. I could be at a premiere and I'm working. And that's just the life, I tell my boyfriend all the time, you knew what you signed up for. This is the lifestyle, and make it happen. We'll come in on a Saturday and a Sunday. We'll do 6 hours, or we'll just go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of submissions. And we represent studios, and, we represent SVODs. And so it's we have our hands in a little bit of everything, and we hope to really connect the dots to create a different type of representation where people really get that holistic approach where they really feel like, okay, they're doing it.
That's fantastic. Wow. You got your hands full. I know you got to get back to submissions, but I had a couple questions for you. How, besides being an actor who did all of this, who led you to that first agency at age 13? I mean, how entrepreneurial were you to figure this all out? How did you figure that out?
So I was training there as an actor.
Okay. Okay.
My manager owned it.
Got it.
And I was interning, and I was scrubbing toilets and helping set up the chairs, because on weekends they would have these big open calls. They would do radio promotion. It was almost like a JRP or a Barbizon or
right
one of these types of places, except in my opinion, it was a really good program. Not saying those other companies didn't have, but I'm just saying it was a really good program. And, I had the opportunity of overhearing a conversation that I didn't need to hear. And someone needed a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I went home one day and I talked to my mom. My mom was very high up in her company when she was working, and my dad owned the company. And so both my parents, very entrepreneurial, very in the mix. My stepfather owned his own company. My stepmom was in politics and, school board and all that. So I came from, people that were self-starters. The honest truth is I had a really great support system.
Nice.
And I've always had really great people around me. Certainly people come in and out of your lives, and, there's some really good people you meet along the way, and there's some not so great people you meet along the way. But every single thing and every relationship is a different lesson, and it's a different conversation. It's a different story in my book. And so I'm really, really lucky to have had such a colorful story, because I really hope that I'm able to help kind of this next generation. I'm still hoping that I'm like young and cool enough for them to like wanna get it, you know? And like, and it's the same thing with my clients. I'm really lucky that I'm able to just keep it real with them. Like, I'm a no bullshit, straight to the point. I'm not always gonna say what you wanna hear. If that's what you want, I'm not the guy for you. Like, I'm just going to tell you like it is.
Oh, I had one of those yesterday. Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, you know, it's like, that's just what it is. And, you know, and some people can rock with it and some people can't. And, you know, I have clients where people are like, that sounds toxic. But it's like, you know, we're like yelling and colorful and talking it through. But, like, we're not mad. We're just being, you know, getting it out, and we figure it out, and we work through it, and we come up with a solution. And that's my biggest thing, is having people, like business relationships and people that are in this for the long haul. You know, I'm really big on loyalty. And, you know, nobody should ever, in my opinion, just up and leave because you can't communicate effectively. And sometimes as people, we have to recognize that sometimes people are going to say things that we don't necessarily agree with, and that's okay. And, you know, ego is so big in what we do. But I'm fortunate enough to have clients that understand that this is a partnership. I don't work for anybody. And the day that that is not clear is the day that I get off the train.
Very important. So well said.
It's really important. And it's really important that people have a common, you know, courtesy and a common respect. I mean, people will tell you all the time, I'm an asshole. But I'm an asshole because I'm to the point.
And you care.
But that's the thing, I care.
Yeah, that's clear.
You know, but people don't always, you know, receive it that way. And for me, when I go home, I promise you, I'm not stressing myself out when I go to bed about some deal or about somebody else's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not happening. So people making it so personal, it's never personal. It's business. It's called show business, not show friendships, you know? And sometimes people really forget that.
However, you also said you're big into loyalty, so I think there is a balance of having the care and the personal touch with being cut and dry when you need to make those decisions.
For sure, but I also think that just because it's show business, that doesn't mean you have to fuck people over. Ethics and business are two totally different, you know? So for me, it's like, yeah, like, you know, I want to do good business. I want to do smart business. I want to do, you know, effective business. I'm going to do business where I am, you know, holding myself and my team and my colleagues accountable and to a certain level of, you know, dignity and respect and, you know, something that we can all really look back and we can say, wow, like, we did that. We came together as a group and we effectively, as a collective, we did that. You know, I'm really excited about our client, Jalen Hall, who is coming out in Emmett Till October 14th. Little plug for him on Orion Pictures, and he plays Emmett Till. And, you know, I've seen this kid since he's 8 years old. I found him in an acting school in Atlanta. And he was on All-American and still continues to be on All-American as a series regular. And he's also now the series lead on The Crossover for Disney Plus. And, you know, I've just seen this career and his growth. And now I'm kind of showing my age, but it's like, you see these kids that come in when you're 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and now they're 18, 19, 20. You know, Chris Meyer, who's been with me since he's 11, he's 25. He's a series regular on The Sex Lives of College Girls, you know. that for me is what really makes me get up and go. You know, these are my family. I don't know anything else. You know, Cynthia Bailey's been with me 6, almost 7 years. Candy Burr, same thing. Tiny. These are like my sisters. Like, I start my day with them. I end my day with them. They know my life way more than my mother, unfortunately. And I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening. I promise I'll try to call more. But you know what I mean? Like, it's an investment. It's a lifestyle. You know, and it's not for everyone. What we do as talent representatives, whether on a small scale or a large scale, beginning actors or really advanced actors that are movie stars making millions of dollars a picture, it's a hard skill set and not everybody can do it. And a lot of people can only do it for a certain amount of time. And you have to know how to spin so many plates, and you have to know how to keep people happy. And unfortunately, everybody's not always going to be happy, including yourself. You know, I have my days where I'm like, okay, today is not the day for me, you know, but you got to get through it. And, you know, you see actors that are working so hard and are so close, and you just see like they keep getting pinned and they keep getting in the mix and they're testing and they're right there. And then they finally get it. And you're like, oh my God, this is the payoff. This is why you do this. And I know that sounds kind of cheesy. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I do. But it really is a gratifying feeling. I mean, I have a client that literally grew up in the hood, doesn't know her mom, doesn't know her dad, like, lives with her aunt and uncle, like, has had tons of issues, was in and out of foster care. And she came to us, and in 6 months, she's on a series. And she's making $50,000 an episode. And she literally moved out of the hood, like, got her family out, got a business manager, is, like, figuring out how to set up her life because she's never had money like that before. That, to me, is life-changing. Because guess what? I'm never going to school to be a doctor to save people's lives. I'm never going to be able to find a cure to cancer. I'm not, you know, like, I was not the school kid. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I have, you know, effective ways of doing things. But that wasn't my thing. And so this is my way that I can contribute in ways that I know, and to take it a step further, you know, to be able to really help voices that really didn't have necessarily always that opportunity. Like I was saying before, that's just so dope to me.
It is so dope.
It's so cool. And even, again, not about race or about gender or ethnicity, but like, to be able to help a group of people, like a reality star, to now be taken seriously on a television scripted series. That's massive, because 10 years ago, that did not happen. And I'm not talking about an influencer that's on TikTok that's now in some movie and we never hear about them again. You know, I'm talking about people that are now effectively crossing over from unscripted to scripted, doing it very well, doing it effectively, and going back to unscripted and doing both at the same time. Has not really happened in a real way. And I feel like at our agency, not to, you know, sound pretentious, but here goes Nick's ego for a second, you know, we've done that really well for a lot of people. It's not just like, oh, we have this one or we have this two, you know, it's, we've got quite a bit. And so, you know, I'm excited for what's next.
Wow. Yeah. I would love to know what's next in that what's next slot. That's a lot.
You know, it's a lot. But, you know, we're helping put together a lot of projects, you know, both scripted, unscripted, television and film. That is really exciting because it gets a little bit more of those creative juices flowing, you know, and helps us again partner with our clients and help their dreams become a reality just in a different way. And, you know, that's obviously for our people that are on a certain level, you know, and then You know, I think what's next might be to continue to grow our agency a little bit and continue to see who else we can bring in and what other colleagues we can bring in that might help push the envelope. And, you know, certainly we don't want to get too big, and we don't want to become, you know, this overly corporate, you know, non-personal type, you know, agency, but we definitely want to continue to be a commanding player within the marketplace. And I think we do that, and we do it pretty well.
Besides actors, you've mentioned Unscripted. So I imagine that means people that are news, people that are hosting. Do you represent writers?
We are not, we used to have a lit division. We do not have a lit division now. So we do not have writers, directors, producers. However, we have a handful of Unscripted producers, showrunners. We have two television studios that we represent, one out of Atlanta, one out of Los Angeles, that do 20 to 30 TV movies a year, plus, you know, a huge television business with Unscripted and a few scripted series as well. So, you know, we have our hands in a little bit of everything. We definitely have access and resources. You know, we are not actively looking for writing clients or directing clients, but we have clients that came in through the talent department that may have projects that they've created or written that we're out to market with, or that, you know, they want to direct, or, you know, a client, I might say, hey, I think this client, you know, I did this with one female director that I will not mention right now. But I woke up one morning, I was like, oh my God, we have to make her a director. Like, that's it. Like, that's the next step. That's the next phase. She's fucking brilliant. She's a visionary. Like, that's what we need to do. And so to be a good businessman, you have to think about the whole picture, not just me. And so slow down and really just take your time to make sure that you're always looking at holistically what is best. And I think that is actually what sets me apart from a lot of reps, because they're not always looking at that. For a lot of people, it's about what's the bottom line, what's the dollar, how is this going to affect me and my numbers, and, you know, I mean, so on and so forth, right? I have the luxury of, I don't have to worry about that. You know, I've got enough people working, there's enough things happening, I've worked long enough that the machine kind of runs itself, so everything else is kind of like cream right on top. You know, and I'm hoping that'll last for a really long time. You know, I'm very lucky right now, and we're in a good position.
That's fantastic. So how can people, I know you get submissions, you said 600 a weekend, something like that, but if people did want to reach out either via social media.
They can always, for sure, you can reach out to New Faces at PantheonTalent.com. Again, that's newfaces@pantheontalent.com. And we check them all. Like I said, it takes us a minute to get through them, but, you know, we do go through them and we will respond to you. We are super, super, uber selective, because, you know, they tried to run me out of town. They tried to say I was this crazy person. They tried to say that I did all these horrible things, and I didn't. You know, broke the law for sure, you know. And I paid my debt, and I did what I needed to do, and I'll never do it again. But I wasn't trying to hurt anybody, and I worked my ass off. And I never, ever, ever gave up. I was never going to let anybody tell me that I couldn't do it. I certainly didn't let my family or my parents or anybody that wanted me to stay in school and focus and, you know, have this education that, you know, quite honestly, for a lot of people, that's what the thing is, right? But for me, that wasn't my book, that wasn't my roadmap, and that wasn't my story. And a lot of people might say that wasn't my testimony. You know, it just wasn't. And the way to learn how to not navigate is by not giving up.
Amen. So thanks very much for listening to this episode, and please share all the episodes with your friends and colleagues. We appreciate your ratings and comments on Apple Podcasts and on social media. If you'd like more information about our programs and our special people and projects, please access www.morezap.com, More Zap Productions for Talent and Literary. And if you'd like to book a special one-on-one coaching or a group clinic or workshop, please access passion-power.com, and you can fill out our form there and make a request. Thanks again.